we're looking at cotton crop abandonment. And so what's the problem? You know, each year millions of dollars are lost when people spend all their pay for seed and they plant cotton and put all the inputs in and then end up not harvesting it. There's been a lot of studies that have looked at climate and weather extremes on yield losses, but they tend to look at yield losses per harvested acres. And you could think of abandoned acres as a special extreme case where yields go to zero. And very little has been done on this. What I have found, not very many ag economists have looked at this. A lot of it's been in agronomy and in like climate science, meteorology. And those studies looked at the role of irrigation in preventing crop loss, which is kind of strange. And I think it has to do with the data that's available. Chen and Miranda at Ohio State have looked at crop insurance and what effects that has for incentives for acreage abandonment. And they found in their study that higher crop insurance coverage increases abandonment. Another thing that's motivating this project is that there's been an interest in the NIDIS, the National Integrated Drought Information Systems, wants to have drought early warning systems. So how can you tell ahead of time if you're going to have a bad crop year? And so part of this research is kind of looking at, could you have an early warning system to try to figure out how much cotton acreage is going to be abandoned? Okay, what do I mean by abandoned? It's just abandoned acres are just, you know, how many acres that were planted but were never harvested. The abandonment rate is just that ratio. So over the last 25 years, on average, cotton producers have abandoned like 15% of their acreage. Rates were really high in 2011, 58% nationally. Big chunk of that's Texas and Oklahoma, mostly Texas. But it was also fairly large in 2012 and 2013. So 2011, 5.3 million acres were abandoned. And almost 3 million acres in both 2012 and 2013. If you think of just all the planting and seed costs that go into planting something that never produces any pounds of cotton land, that's a lot of money that's just going to nothing. So we've got abandonment data. This is just NAS data from 1990 to 2012. County level, more than 3,000 observations. And we have kind of from the Mississippi Delta going west, just basically because those are the only states where USDA actually reports irrigated versus non-irrigated acreage at the county level. You can get it, I think, from the censuses, but then they only report whether it's irrigated or non-irrigated, but the ag censuses only report harvested acres. So I think there's other ways to probably tease out things for the eastern half of the cotton belt, but this is the data we have. Now, the problem with this variable, there's a lot of zero values. In Arizona and California, you have a lot of years with absolutely no abandonment. And you have a lot of observations that are clustered to relatively small amounts of abandonment. But then there's some counties that get nailed. I was, a grad student was collecting the data. These numbers can't be that high. And I double-checked, and some years in some counties in Texas, it's close to 100%. So you have long tails. So all the nice properties of doing ordinarily squares estimation goes out the window. What we did is we transformed it to like a logistic function. Chen did this as part of his PhD dissertation. Basically, it's like a log odds transformation. There's a problem with that if you have zero values, and if you look at some econometrics books like Tindike and Rubenfell, if you just kind of tack on a half on the numerator and denominator, that gets rid of that problem, so you can log it without everything blowing up. You don't have to do Tobit. You don't have to do anything fancy. You can just run least squares regression. The problem comes in later when you're trying to interpret the coefficients, because this thing's already makes the transformation makes everything cubic already, and I ended up having square terms in there, so I don't know what, when you square something that's cubic, what it does, but it's kind of frightening. So here's some of the variables. Just rainfall of inches. We also have deviations of rainfall from normal based on the standard precipitation index for different periods of time. Dry, so it's just basically dry as if the index takes on a value of like -5, I think, to +5 if it's really a dry year or really a wet year. And so one thing is whether you have rainfall and whether you have more or less rainfall than you expect. So what would be a drought for Mississippi would be a flood for Arizona in terms of rainfall. So part of it is what are the levels of rainfall and how much of those deviate from the long-term normal. Also looking at growing season temperature, Robertson Schenkler, they found significant negative effects on cotton yields. So we included that. We have a measure of cotton insurance liability, also the percentage of county cotton acres that are irrigated. We also looked at future price changes after planting and before regular harvest times in the different counties. And here's the variable. One thing you'll see, and so if this is abandonment, you'll go, what, irrigated acres, their coefficient's positive, that square terms ends up trumping it. So if you plug in, like, what's the overall marginal effect, basically the square term trumps the other coefficient, so that it turns out that more irrigation reduces abandonment. If you have a future price drop, it doesn't really have a significant effect. If you have, it would imply that it's increasing abandonment, but it's not significant. A future price rise, so if the cotton prices start to move upward after you've planted, you're less likely to abandon your acres. And the effects are kind of asymmetric. One hypothesis is that might be loan deficiency payments. So even though the futures price is dropping, there's kind of a floor there, whereas there isn't a ceiling. Also, January precip, precip squared are highly significant. You can see these t-stats are insanely high, which actually makes me somewhat suspicious. I'll talk about that in a second. February precip and precip squared are also significant. Okay, here's the dry year index, wet year index. So this is from January to September, whether it's drier or wetter than normal for that county. And what we did was NOAA has data on a whole bunch of weather variables by, they're like weather districts that are often groups of counties. So again, we had one grad student match all the climate division data to the county data. I'll send some of that to you. It might be useful because it's, you know, how do you get something down? Got them for Texas and Oklahoma. Yes. So, you know, we painstakingly matched this county climate district to the climate division district data to the county district data. The measure of insurance liabilities also positive. Again, greater growing season temperature tends to be negative. Square term is positive, and then there's temperature interacted with irrigated acres. And here's an example of the effect of irrigation on the abandonment load jet. I haven't gone through the whole process of transforming that to the actual abandonment rate, but one thing you see is that this would be the effect of temperature in completely dry land agriculture. This is the effect of completely irrigated. This is just half the county is irrigated. And one of the things you can see is that once you have irrigation, 100% irrigation, like you have in California and Arizona, it getting hotter doesn't really have much of an effect at all on abandonment. Areas where you're more likely to have dry land production, it's going to be relatively cooler here. So it seems like growers have already kind of adjusted through their use of irrigation to kind of flatten out the effects of higher temperatures. And that's just kind of one sampling of some of the marginal effects we can get at. So some of the conclusions is irrigation significantly mitigates the effects of higher temperatures on abandonment. There's different effects of weather. It's like whether it's wetter or not. Again, kind of going back here really quickly, it seems like having a drier than normal January through March doesn't really have a significant effect on abandonment, but having it much wetter than normal does. So if you can't plant when you want to plant, that could probably create problems later on. But there's a difference between whether it's wet or dry or whether it's wetter or drier than normal. Again, there's an asymmetric effect of price expectations. So I've kind of raises the question for me, to what extent do the loan deficiency payments prevent abandonment because they're kind of limiting the effect of price drops. Also, preliminarily, it looks like there's higher abandonment with greater insurance coverage. Some caveats, you know, is insurance coverage really exogenous? Are people abandoning a lot because they have a lot more insurance, or do people get more insurance because there's more abandonment? So we might have to do some kind of two-stage least squares to check for that. I'm only explaining about a third of the variation in the data. Again, there's problems with panel data. There's different specification errors. Also, there's a high likelihood when you're looking at county-level data, you have spatial autocorrelation. And one of the consequences of that is it inflates your t-stats. And if you go back here, when you put t-stats like that, it's like, that's too good to be true, which means we probably have to start to look at if there's spatial autocorrelation. The other thing is that because this thing is a nasty, nonlinear thing, it's hard to actually tease out the marginal effects because, how do I say this right? The predicted value of the inverse function is not the inverse function of the predicted value. So you can't just transform it back. You've got to put like the standard error, and it's a more complicated formula. So that's ongoing work. But again, it's kind of a trick trying to figure out how to get different weather and climate variables in here to tease out what's happening. But one thing it looks like is that effects of higher temperatures and possibly even higher temperatures in the future may be a lot less than other people are saying because people are adapting through irrigation and deciding where they're growing cotton in the U.S.
Any questions?
Let's go. Thank you, George.